We are going to go on the pace now. And Chris Barsby joins me. Morning, Chris.
Sean, good morning to you and good morning, everyone. Everyone is talking about the performance of Belraj yesterday afternoon at Menangle. He remains unbeaten, this former Kiwi, a three-year-old, a son of Art Major, and he was absolutely brilliant, scorching around Menangle yesterday in new Australasian record time for a three-year-old, stopping the clock at 149.1. He ran splits of 27.1, 28.5, 26.1, 27.4. The previous mark was held by Muscle Factory, but Belraj going 149.1 now firmly establishes a new Australasian record, and he looks the real deal at this point. Four starts here in Australia, in Sydney, and he's won all four, but he was brilliant, winning by a widening margin. It was over 20 metres at the line, so we'll keep following him with interest. There's no doubt about it. Belraj, he's certainly being a big late-season star. There's no doubt about it. Tonight we go harness racing at Bathurst. We've got a nine-event program there. Fines Guy's Fast Track. Fred Hastings calling all of the action tonight at Bathurst, and we'll grab his thoughts a little bit later. But it looks a good card. Looking forward to race number four. That's one of the open-class features there. Call Me Queen Bee starting in that race. She trialled well last week, so that's race four, number seven. But Fred will have all of the latest news a little bit later in the program. David Thorne is about to join us because David's he's got his team firing, and he's busy at the moment because he's got the team down in Sydney. He's got a few runners up here in Queensland, and on Saturday night he's got the clear favourite for the Group 1 Albion Park Gold Final. This is a $100,000 feature, and he's got the unbeaten Expensive Ego lining up in this race. He's drawn the outside of the second row. He's an ODM runner after making that gate break when he scored in the Group 1 race two starts ago, but he's the clear favourite for this race on Saturday night. It's race number seven. It's over the mile, and he's looking to grab another Group 1 feature, and he's about to join us online now, David Thorne. David, appreciate the time.
Not a problem, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You knew where you were going to draw, so when the draw was released yesterday, what was the thought when you saw where some of your key rivals landed?
Yeah, no, look, as I said, the fillies were always going to draw 1-3, so that wasn't a surprise, and then the rest of the geldings were obviously going to draw the rest, but yeah, no, it looks pretty good. The reserve, if it comes out, is off the back row, which helps a little bit. We'll be three off the second row instead of four. So that's got to be a good thing. So, yeah, no, not unhappy with the draw.
Okay, the two heat winners last week, your guy, Expensive Ego, the other heat going the way of Tominui Spirit for Kerri-Anne and Robbie Morris. Just with your guy, the time was 154.7. Were you surprised that you were sort of, you know, stretched out a little bit in that heat last week?
Yeah, probably was, yeah. The second horse probably went, you know, better than his form reads prior. So we probably weren't expecting the other horses to be able to probably run that. But the one of Grant's horses went really good, and it made us fight all the way to the line.
In saying that, were you a little easy on your guy following his Group 1 victory in the Triad recently, back on July 20?
Yeah, I think I was. He sort of raced. He's had three starts in a row, and he actually had two trials in a row. So he's virtually had five starts in 5 weeks at home and coming up here. So it was really the first week that I hadn't raced him. So it was a little bit of a learning experience for me, and I just probably didn't hobble him as much as what I would normally have. But I thought, you know, because he's been racing so hard, he wouldn't sort of need as much. But he's a big, gross horse, so I was maybe feeding him a little bit more than what I had been too, so I was probably a little bit kind to him after the race. But at the end of the day, you can't have them at their peak for every start because they've only got so many, you know, really good performances in them. So we were trying to look after him as well, and it sort of all worked out good because he got through the run, he won the race, and he pulled up terrific.
Okay, so reading between the lines, he's got a fair bit of upside still to come.
Yeah, I think he'll be a lot sharper this week. That run will tighten him up as well. But I sort of give him a light fast work on Monday, and I give him a bit of a hit out this morning, and he was really sharp. And obviously, I'm going to cut back his food a little bit this week. So, no, I think he'll tighten up nicely, and he's bright as a button. So I think you'll probably see a little bit sharper horse on Saturday.
Okay, well, that's a scary sign going forward, given what he's done already. At some point when you look at this race, do you think he's going to have to be three wide solo at some stage?
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, it'd be three wide at some stage. It's just a matter of how long. depends how hard they go early. You know, sort of the one and two are both quick out, and they're going to want to try to, you know, be in front or maybe behind the leader. So they're not going to want to give up their spot too easy. You know, they all won't want to get shuffled back too far. So, and obviously Grant will be trying to go forward on his horse. He'll be trying to stay in front of us. So if they go sort of a bit hard early, that'll obviously play into our hands. But I'll just leave it up to Jimmy. You know, obviously if they back off, he'll be on his bike and going. So, yeah, it's a tricky race. We're just going to have to play it by ear. But I think, you know, the main thing for me is the horse is right. And come Saturday night, the rest will be just up to Jimmy.
Mm. It doesn't appear as strong as the Triad, where you were facing Governor Jujon, who was unbeaten prior to that race. So this probably looks a little weaker, but in saying that, you've got to overcome a bad draw.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it does look a weaker race on paper. I mean, the horse that ran fourth in the Triad came out and won here last week, Mystery Road. So it was a pretty good field, the Triad, but $100,000 races, they're all hard to win.
Okay. He's not done after Saturday night. There's still another race that you're looking at with him?
Yeah, he's got, it's the APG Constellation. I could stay here another week, but I'm going to take him home. And we've been away long enough now. So there's a race on the 31st of August at an angle. So, and I've got my filly up here too, and she's actually in the fillies one. So the ones at home are fillies and colts separated. So the one up here is combined. So I think we'll just we'll get through Saturday night and then head home if they travel home good. And, you know, they've got a couple of weeks to sort of get over the run and get back into it. So if they pull up good and work good the week prior, they'll be going around in that.
Okay. At the start of the season, when you started working with Expensive Ego, did you think you'd be looking at a dual Group 1 winner or a possible dual Group 1 winner?
Well, I always hope so. I mean, I always thought he was very good, but you don't know until you put them on the track. You know, plenty of horses can be good track workers and they go to the races and they're not as good, you know. So, but I always thought he would be. He's that sort of casual, relaxed horse, and I thought under pressure he'd find something. So, you know, I always had a really big opinion of him. You know, as I said, they've got to do it at the track, and for us, you know, we're lucky enough that he did.
Okay, the home fires are burning nicely. You produced a nice one yesterday that proved successful at Menangle in Mission Control. I just mentioned Balaraj. Your horse was a runner-up behind Balaraj and back in town. Both look like they're likely types.
Yeah, no, they're both three-year-olds. And, you know, back in town, I've sort of had him from day dot. We bought him at the Yearland Sales. And he was nothing special to start with, but he just got better and better. And he sort of never looked real good, but he's actually starting to look good now. He's grown into his body and, you know, he's always a bit light. Didn't look that good in the coat, but he's actually really glowing now. And I think that's sort of, you know, repaid on the racetrack. His last five or six runs have been really good. And, you know, I mean, he got beat 20-odd metres yesterday, but he probably still broke 51 for his mile. So he'll probably only have another run or so and go to the paddock. You know, I think he'll be better again next time. So really happy with him. And Mission Control, I haven't had him long. He's only had the two starts for me, but I think he's a pretty nice horse. He seems very strong, and Jimmy was pretty impressed with him yesterday. So he's got the Kevin and Kay Seymour race sort of lined up next week at Penrith the Heats, and which is a final at Menangle. So sort of looks pretty good for him at the moment. I think he'll sort of, you know, go all the way through the grades.
Yeah, certainly looks like it. Well, things are going well. Hopefully he can cap it with another Group 1 victory on Saturday night with Expensive Ego when he goes around in that Group 1 feature at Albion Park, the Albion Park Gold. David, appreciate the time.
Not a problem. Thanks, Chris.
There's David Thorne joining us. So we look forward to seeing Expensive Ego start again this Saturday night at Albion Park. Just in some other news snippets, Fun at the Beach, a very talented performer from New Zealand, is set to go to Sydney and join the stables of Shane Tritton. Darren McCall's got a few former Kiwi mares headed his way as well. Yerribee Stud would still be on top of the world following the victory of Sha Tin in the Lady Liberty at the Meadowlands on Hambletonian Day last weekend. 46-4 was her winning time. Tintin and America standing there for breeders in New South Wales this season. They've got a few nice mares headed their way as well, Yirrabee. Tim Butters added to his stable with the recent purchase of My Name Is Jeff, an unraised three-year-old. So, well, he's two, rising three, our time. Myfield Marshall, just an update on the Miracle Mile winner. He's still out spelling, so he's still probably another week or two away. And College Chapel, who's out at the moment with injury, he has been gelded as well. So when he returns next season, hopefully, you will notice that there is a little bit of a change with College Chapel. He has been gelded following that injury setback that he's had. That is all the news for this Wednesday with On The Pace, and we'll look forward to chatting again next week, Sean.